It's time!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am your host. I'm known as POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about him, I cover him, I talk about him on the radio. I do all I can with him. Joining me in studio, as always, he is a member of the POU football team. He wears number 7. His name is Kellen Westring. Kellen, how are you?
Guys, I'm disappointed.
No.
In life, it's just not fair. And my dad told me something a long time ago. Whenever he would coach me and I said, "Dad, it's not fair," he would say, "Kellen, you want fair? Go to the Puyallup." And I didn't quite get that joke, but obviously for you folks scoring at home, you want fair, go to the Puyallup Fair.
Yeah.
Which it's not named that anymore, which is too bad. It's called the Washington State Fair, I believe now. But what I'm talking about is the reffing that went on at the George Fox game.
Ooh.
Now, in my opinion, they might as well have been wearing Navy and had Bruins across their shirt, for all I care. A couple missed calls that were brutal, including a touchdown where I was in the back of the end zone. The foot was clearly down. It is what it is. They had a couple kind of Matt Hasselbeck Super Bowl holding calls on some of our running backs. It was frustrating, but we flushed it. I'm going to flush it right now because obviously, clearly I haven't flushed it yet. But you know what? We're not going to look at that heading into this week against UPS. If the refs are against us, we just got to play through it, guys.
Joining me also in studio, as always, she is a member of the POU basketball team. She plays forward and wears number 44. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning. Something that has really gotten under my skin this last week is a tie in a football game.
Oh.
I'm not sure how that works. I honestly don't believe there should be such thing as a tie in any sports games, but I guess soccer you can give it to them. But in football, definitely not. We're going to hit on that a little later in the show, so stick around if you're out there.
Ooh, nice plug. Rounding out the starting 3.5, another member of the POU basketball team. He is a point forward, wearing number 32. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Christian, and you want to know why?
Why? Tell me why.
The Kings are 1-0. I watched Anthony Davis score 50 points last night. And then on top of all of that, ladies and gentlemen, system basketball beats flashy basketball every single time. The new and improved Golden State Warriors are not new and improved. An old man, Greg Popovich, system, good old boy basketball, is still the best basketball in the NBA and still wins every single time. And boy, was it fantastic to see the league favorite, who everyone put the rings on before the year even started, get slammed by 29.
So, folks, I want to remind those of you who are listening that most of the stories we'll be covering today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We would love to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. Please feel free to call into the show at any time. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. And I want to give a special shout-out to a great family friend, Liz, who is in Puyallup right now listening from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So, Liz, thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you, Liz. That is very kind. So let's start out the show today. Joining us in studio, we have a guest.
He don't have a jersey number.
No jersey number. He's covered the Northwest for quite a while now, I can assume.
22 years.
He is Todd Millis of the Tacoma News Tribune. Todd, how are you today?
I have no complaints.
No complaints?
But I was at that game that she was talking about, the tie on Sunday.
Right.
In the stadium, and that was... I won't go as far as that, but it was weird. 6-6 tie, it's, you know, I agree. Maybe leave the ties for soccer.
Why?
Why what?
Why can't teams tie? You don't like that rule, why not?
It's just weird.
It's just weird? That's
it? It's just weird. That's
right.
That's it. It just doesn't feel right.
You don't know whether to cheer or boo, right? You're just kind of like...
Well, since I can't cheer or boo, it made it harder for us in the press box to know how to cover a game like that. So, you know, I do remember early in my life that college football used to have ties. They didn't have overtime, and we just kind of accepted it. But I guess you just kind of get used to overtime. I don't mind the Kansas tiebreaker system. It seems to do a good job of breaking ties. I'm not saying the NFL should subscribe to that because you don't see a lot of ties in the NFL, but it was just weird being in a press box covering a team that you're very familiar with tie a football game. Now, for them, doing it on the road against a really good team almost kind of felt like a win because they didn't really deserve to win or tie that game. But
yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if we're here to talk about Seahawks, but that was just my two cents on that.
So you've been doing it for 22 years now, right? So what have you covered for that long?
How long is the show? I've known this. I mean, I don't know if there are too many people on campus that have known this young man longer than I have. I remember when he was a ball boy in the national championship team in 99. And I was telling him coming in, that's probably one of my five favorite experiences just because of the people you get to deal with. It was a great football team to cover. He can attest to that. His cousin was a quarterback on that team. They were so much smaller than Rowan. The championship game, they were so much cockier than PLU Rowan was. And honestly, I don't think anybody at that time really thought that they would cover or play Rowan for the national championship because Mount Union was kind of on their climb to what they are today, and they got upset. Rarely, probably the rare time they got upset at home. So I know you guys had to scramble. PLU had to scramble to find out what Rowan was about, and we sure did. They were a bunch of ACC castoffs. They were 315-pound offensive linemen against 185-pound defensive linemen from PLU. And his dad, being the offensive mastermind that he is, just did a lot of misdirection plays. And by halftime, that fine Rowan team was out of gas. And lo and behold, the Lutes went on and won a national championship. And quite frankly, that's the only national championship I've ever seen live. So, between the two colleges here. So, and I remember watching him. He was pretty excited, young kid. So,
I had a great bowl. Bowl cut back in the day.
Yeah,
strong. I need to bring that back.
Yeah. So, I've been around PLU and UPS a long time. I don't know, people around here don't want to hear that college name, but the U.S. Open here a couple years ago, that was my baby. That was something I was in charge of and very proud of. And so right now I'm kind of a general assignment reporter, but because I like the local scene, I grew up here, and I make sure that PLU, UPS are at least show up in our paper occasionally.
Right. So talking about, the shipping company, excuse me, UPS, we're going to talk a little bit about when did you start covering PLU and UPS, Todd? Like, do you remember kind of the exact year or exactly?
Yeah, it was 96.
96.
So when they were NAIA, and so Western Washington, which doesn't have a football team anywhere, would come to town with Rob Smith as the coach, and they'd have some great football games. I know you remember that. Central Washington would come. Simon Fraser, I used to watch a Canadian team, would come down and play.
Right, John Kitna never beat the Lutes.
John Kitna, I remember John Kitna at Central. I don't remember him playing the Lutes, but I do remember him playing the Loggers and going over to UPS and beating them. So the national championship game when they were in the Tacoma Dome that John was part of, I wasn't there yet. So, and that goes with basketball too. Went to a national championship women's tournament in the coldest city in America. It was Sioux City, Iowa. It was probably 20 below when the Lutes were in the NAIA National Championship for women, and I think it was their first time. So I've been fortunate to, these two universities have provided me a lot of opportunities, as have a lot of other teams, but I kind of have a special place in my heart for these two universities, especially with the people I get to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
So POU and UPS square off on the football field this weekend at Sparks Stadium. What have you seen out of both UPS and POU this season?
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of defense from UPS, and I haven't seen you could probably ask this guy right here, should they be 3-3? No. They're a better football team than that. I look at UPS, they have some real issues on the defensive side of the ball. Is 3-3 about right? Yeah, probably. I think it's going to be a game where you're going to see both teams at least in the 30s. The volume of the UPS offense, I think, will eventually get touchdowns. I mean, PLU has a much better defense than UPS, and I think that on Saturday on the turf, that'll be the biggest difference in the rivalry game.
So you talked a little bit about defense. What do you think of the two quarterback system here at PLU with John Schaub and Cole Chandler?
Wow, putting me on the spot.
Be honest.
I don't.
We didn't bring you in here just to panic. Like, come on, give it
it's
to
okay.
us.
It's okay to say you hate it. I say it every week.
I don't know if it's optimum. There were a few factors that obviously kind of a confluence of factors that kind of made this what it is. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that, Cole got off to a slow start when he got here in camp, for whatever reason. And I think we all watched Cole last year and thought, wow, this is kind of the future at this position, for whatever reason. He was a little behind that last year. And John made a very, very good recovery from his knee surgery. And John's a very dynamic leader. I think we all know that. We've seen him in the huddle. This guy can probably attest to that. They just do different things. And if Cole were passing the ball a little bit better, I could see maybe an argument for it to be just kind of one guy. Because obviously John can't run. And they don't want him hurt again. They don't want him hurt again. So it is what it is. I think we all can admit to that. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think if you put the coaching staff on, you know, truth serum and hooked them up to the, you know, lie detector test, I don't think they would admit it was optimum. But there is a track record for it. It's happened before, and Scott knows how to handle it, and it is what it is.
So John took a huge shot at the end of that last game. Is injured and will not be playing this weekend. How do you think that's going to affect things?
I think it's kind of a rubber meets the road moment for Cole, to be honest with you. I think he has to. We're week 7 now, so if Cole's not going to show what he did last year, then I don't know if it's coming back this year. And I'm talking about his passing. I think he needs to be a little more patient with it. He has a tendency to take off and run. I think at the end of the Whitworth game, I think we all kind of scratched our head at the final play. You wanted one shot to get to the end zone, and this guy was catching some passes. And I'm not just talking this guy, but, Welch and all those other guys would have liked an opportunity to catch a ball or go get a jump ball in the end zone. And just those kind of things, you just kind of scratch your head and go, what are we doing? And I don't know if it's a confidence thing in his passing or he just felt like he had to play on the, with his legs. But going 22 yards is pretty difficult against 11 guys, wouldn't you think, Kellen?
Absolutely. I think you've showed you the Space Jam Michael Jordan kind of reach over.
If he could leap like 20 feet in the air, then I can understand that. But no, I mean, I'm not here to. I think the world of Cole. The first game I saw him last year was the George Fox game when he had one incompletion. I want this guy to be one of the great quarterbacks at PLU. I've watched the great PLU quarterbacks, and this young man has a skill set to be that. It was a little disappointing, to be honest with you, to see what's gone on. That's not to say he can't make a nice little run here at the end of the season starting Saturday. I think it's, like you said, it's a rubber meet the road moment without John. And it's going to be kind of his gig, and let's see what he can do with it.
Todd, you talked a little bit about how you think that the score will probably be in the 30s. On Saturday, you're going to get there with your pumpkin spice latte. You're going to be up there with your scarf and your hats. What do you, expect on Saturday, your final score, and why?
Well, I expect you to have your first 200-yard receiving game.
Whoa.
Wow!
No, and that's – this guy, and I'm happy to see him because saw him in high school, and we're all familiar with the route he's took. As a senior, he's having his best season. He's finally showing that he's as good as there is in this conference, and he has their full attention. They're very young. They have 6 freshmen on their defense, and probably not the personnel they thought they would have.
In the secondary, they're all freshmen, but one senior.
Yeah, they have Jake Westhoff, who's a fantastic safety, and they have all freshmen, and they make the same mistake over and over and over again, and it's led to some pretty big plays. So, if Garrett McKay can have 100 and whatever yards, you should have 200 yards. You're that much better than Garrett McKay. Score-wise, depends on how much Cole can get you the ball. No, I'm going to go 38-27.
All right.
Lutes.
That's fair.
That'll work for us.
Wow. 38-27 Lutes.
take a PLU win.
Not to kick too much dirt. It wouldn't surprise me if PLU scored more. It wouldn't surprise me if UPS scored fewer. So,
all right. Yeah. Cool. All right, so let's do a little bit of word association. We'll say something. You'll give us the first sense or so that comes into your mind. Deal? Sound good?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it's a choice.
We don't have to do it.
No, that's fine.
All right, University of Puget Sound.
Grass.
I like that.
Puget Sound head football coach Jeff Thomas.
Love him.
Why?
Just an awesome guy. I know you guys aren't here, so not supposed to like him, but he's a very good coach. He's done a really good job with that program. That's not one word I know. But
We respect him.
Yeah, if you get to sit down and drink and have a beverage with him, you'd really like him. Yeah, he drinks
those Monsters and Mountain Dews, doesn't he?
He used to. I think he's switched. Yeah, I think he's become more coffee based. More decaf. But yeah, I think he has a stash of that. So sorry. Yeah, cool.
Pacific Lutheran University.
Tradition.
Ooh. All right, POU head football coach Scott Westring.
Curly.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
Very nice.
Kellen Westring's hamstrings.
Oh, that's not funny. We were just talking about it. I've called him bulky, so I can't change it now.
Bulky.
Bulky, yeah.
Frosty Westring.
Oh, the best. Legend. I can go on.
Go
dynamic.
Ahead,
I could even say corny, but it worked. Everything he said was gold.
High school sports.
Lifeline.
Lifeline four.
For any community, yeah, Lifeline.
Any community.
Last question here, Todd. This is in the doc, but just for me, wanted to know, and a couple of our viewers that are listening, who would you say is the best PLU football player that you've ever seen?
Oh, man.
I know there's a lot of them.
That's rough.
Best PLU. I didn't get to see Craig Cupp, and I didn't get to see lefty quarterback from Rodgers.
Chad Johnson?
Yeah, no, I did him. No. Weekly.
Oh,
Mark Weekly.
He went to Rodgers?
Yeah, he went to Rodgers.
Did he really? Wow.
Yeah. Best PLU football player. Wow.
I mean, I can throw some names out there.
I hate to say it because he was a transfer. I would decide Anthony or Chad. I mean, that offensive backfield was the best I've ever seen.
Right.
PLU's had some other great quarterbacks with not as many good running backs, and vice versa. I've seen some great running backs, and maybe not as quality, same quality of quarterback. But those two together, probably that would be a tie. Can I say a tie? Chad Johnson, Anthony.
What is this, the Seahawks game?
Yeah.
Because, as a receiver, Todd, I look at guys like Chase Reed, guys like Craig Chaddow, Greg Ford, those kind of
Greg
guys.
Greg Ford would be a guy that comes to mind.
Just a game changer.
Yeah. Greg Ford was, again, so when I went from covering PLU to covering Wazoo and UW and coming back and doing some. So there was a gap in my PLU-UPS coverage. So there were some players that I didn't get to see a whole lot.
Some of those names, yeah.
But guys I've seen on a consistent basis, probably those two would be the guys I'd name.
So last question here for you.
Mm-hmm.
We just got reports in, I think 2 days ago now, that there's been an offer to put a stadium for the Sonics to play in if there would be an NBA basketball team to come back. How do you feel about that? Did you catch that news at some point? And do you think it'd be good for Seattle to have a basketball team again?
Yeah, I was in Arizona when all that stuff broke. Taking it back to when I was a kid, I remember when the Sonics won the national, when they won the NBA championship. Yeah. That was the first time we got to celebrate that. I was 7 years old, and I swear I ran out of my front door when I was a kid when they won in Washington. They beat the Bullets. They were the Bullets back then.
Bullets, that's right.
And it was so cool to see that every kid left of me, every kid right of me had done the same thing. They'd bolted out of their front door, and we just basically congregated and played like a 30-on-30 basketball game as kids. It was Dennis Johnson was like the guy I wanted to be when I was a kid when he was with the Sonics, and I remember talking to Kevin Durant when he was a rookie here when he was in Seattle. He never wanted to leave, and I want the team back because it's just I know what this city's like when they have all three franchises going. Mm. And then when Husky football is good, so I even call that a fourth franchise. It just feels a little empty with the Sonics elsewhere. And it hurts me personally because I had some. That was the first franchise I really kind of invested in as a kid because I was a basketball player. I love playing basketball. And when people trashed the Thunder players, you know, I just Kevin Durant. You couldn't be a furthest from the. He's the biggest sweetheart you could ever meet in the NBA. He's just the nicest guy. He didn't want to leave Seattle. You ask those players when that team was yanked out of Seattle. He didn't want to leave here. He didn't want to go to Oklahoma City. And I think that's a big reason why he's not in Oklahoma City. He never wanted to go there.
Right.
He fulfilled his contract and waited for it to expire. So, yeah, I mean, if we get a franchise and Chris Hansen, I think we all can agree is just a stud. You know, we just now need the council to see it. You know, get some pressure from the public to get this thing going. And you know, it sounds like you know if Wally Walker's what he said is true that. You know, it's a smokescreen that they want to put a team here as quickly as they can. And, you know, this is a great area for basketball right now. Wouldn't you say, guys, over there, basketball players? I mean, we have a lot of great players coming from our area. I'd love to see Isaiah Thomas as the point guard from the Sonics. Isaiah Thomas would love to be the point guard of the new Sonics.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. I'd love to see that. I'd love to cover that. Mm-hmm. There's been some great players that I'd love to see come in town, whether they're visitors or playing for the Sonics. It's right. just a... It would be a win-win for the city. I don't think you'd see it. I don't think there's a downside to it.
Yeah, we definitely miss Robert Swift as well, but
he's battling his way back with worse hair. Yeah.
But Ty, we appreciate you being here. Obviously, you're living out your Twitter name in many hats, Miles. And again, we're just so thankful you could be here today. So, folks, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, it will be time for our Tough Deals of the Week. Find out what that tough deal is. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hey, everybody, let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am known as POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Joining me in studio, member of the POU football team. He wears number 7, plays wide receiver, Kellen Westring. Also joining me, as always, in studio, member of the POU women's basketball team. She wears number 44. She plays forward. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. And rounding out the starting 3.5, another member of the POU basketball team. He is a point forward, wearing number 32, Drew Artisoni. So, if you want to call in the show and help us talk about this week's tough deal, the number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. So, I went down to George Fox last weekend to do the broadcast of the POU football game. And I'm very happy that I did. We talked to Lori Turner about her trip to Newburgh to check out the new stadium that George Fox had recently built. There was a vibe there that felt bigger than D3 football. Like it was a fun atmosphere to be in. You know, turf field with the school logo at the 50-yard line, blue end zones with George Fox written in them. The scoreboard was huge, the video board, there was cameramen. Multiple cameramen from different angles taking film, replays during the game. It was cool. They played music during third downs. There was a visible student section, kids dressed up, screaming, having a good time. And it was cool. It was a cool sporting event to be at. My question to you to start this off is it fair to say that that is missing from POU? And I'm not talking about the stadium, but more or less the vibe, the atmosphere, the experience of going to a sporting event at POU. Is that existent? Go ahead, Lacey.
Guys, I think George Fox has money trees on campus. I think they have money falling from their trees because that stadium is impressive. The scoreboard, and I was watching from home, and even just watching online, there were so many different camera angles that you just knew there were multiple camera guys there. They got close-ups of the quarterbacks. you could see emotions on people's faces. It was awesome to watch. But also what stood out to me was at halftime, they had students doing activities on the field. So that was a well-organized, just fun event for fans to be there. You had guys, I think Christian already hit on it, guys that had George Fox painted on their stomachs. They had a guy doing push-ups for every touchdown Fox got. That's a fan experience, and that's not something I've really seen here at PLU. In regards to football, I think the greatest fan in PLU football is Susan Westering out there, which is awesome.
It's got to be on them.
Insert cowbell.
But yeah, I think
it's got to be on them.
A stadium's one thing, but if we're looking at all sports teams at PLU, the fan experience, I think it could be better.
I know how Kellen is going to approach this topic, and that is going to be, I want my darn stadium. And that's okay. It's very okay. Kellen, the football team more than deserves a stadium. I would love to be able to walk to a football game. I think I would go to more football games. I don't go to too many now because I get frustrated. But I would actually go. I think more kids would go if it was on campus. The fact that you have to drive 15 minutes with the fare, make it 30 minutes to a game, that's just, it doesn't help anybody. As far as the atmosphere and attendance of games on campus, I think it's the amount of the lack of importance the university places on athletics. I always like to say, in terms of student organizations, we're definitely last in the pecking order, and that is because of the priorities of the university, and that's completely fine with us. But I think if we could actually, you know, get some more exposure around campus, and we could get some professors and university leadership to games, and we could get things more talked about around campus, I think we may see better things, better. You know, if we could get some, Jessica Roswell is doing a fantastic job with promotions. It's been getting better every single year since she's got here. I think that the more promotions we do, the more buzz there is around campus, the more the university leadership buys in, I think that's how we get more and more and more and more fans and more and more and more and more students to games.
That's fair. Kellen, what do you think about the atmosphere, the vibe, the feeling you get at a PLU sporting event?
Yeah, I think you guys did a great job explaining kind of from both perspectives. I mean, and Christian, I'm so glad you went as well. From a broadcasting perspective for you and your background and your, Lord willing, future career choice. But also, you're absolutely right. I mean, PLU football has a pretty decent crowd to begin with. Imagine if it was in Parkland. Imagine if, Drew, you're up late Friday night, you're studying, which is great for a Friday night, actually. You're up late studying, you sleep in, you get a muffin, and you walk to the stadium. How easy is that? Rather than, okay, guys, we got to get prepared, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to get everything in the car, now let's drive 20 minutes to Puyallup. It's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And we still get pretty good crowds. So we're still very thankful that we have a crowd in Puyallup. And I think that's something that's kind of underrated. Sometimes, you know, our players are like, gosh, I wish we had more. We should be thankful that anybody drives to Puyallup.
Yeah.
Student-wise.
Go ahead, Lacey.
What do you guys think? I mean, Drew and I are in the games during basketball season, so we're not able, like, we're in the locker room during halftime. You guys have been to a couple basketball games. I know women don't get as many fans as men, which is fine, but I'm curious to know what the atmosphere is like at a basketball game. That's on campus, and it's indoors. So what's that like?
It's very disappointing, if you want the half-athlete's humble opinion. There is no, I mean, the PLU students, for whatever reason, they go to sporting events and they sit down and sit on their hands. And to me, that doesn't help.
I've never understood that.
The atmosphere of what college athletics in general can be. You know, most places you see on TV, there is a student section with people jumping up and down and screaming during every possession and having a good time. PLU is not like that. And I wonder, I don't know where it stems from. I get the money, the finances, I get that part, but it's more of the students' behavior at these games is what I'm trying to get at. Why is it the way it is?
One thing we have to keep it in perspective when it comes to basketball season is that it's during J-term a lot, which J-term for PLU is basically ghost town. And so there's definitely not a lot of fans during the J-term part. There's been some decent fans at some UPS games. You know, I've broadcasted women's and men's basketball games. I also think, do you guys think that the way that the PLU bleachers are affects it at all?
It shouldn't,
yeah. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to think about, you know, what are these students? Well, there's parents sitting by us as well, because there's not necessarily a student section.
There's a banner that says student section.
There is a banner.
It's never full, though.
Yeah.
Students don't go there.
Right. They kind of go scattered.
Scattered, like you said. Sit on their hands and just observe the game.
And it's great basketball. It's great basketball.
And I think what's sad, too, is if you look, volleyball has the best crowd. But would you like to know why? Because the sports who are thirsting for that environment go to volleyball to create that environment, i.e. football, i.e. men's basketball, i.e. men's soccer, and women's soccer. We'll fill that entire student section for volleyball. Because I always say this, athletes get athletes. Athletes know what athletes want. It's not that hard to figure out. That's why there's such thing as SAC. You know what I mean? Like,
what is SAC?
Student Athlete Advisory Committee, which is a committee of athletes who are kind of that middleman between us and the university leadership. And they kind of explain what we want. We explain what we want to them. They explain what they want to Jen. And then they and Jen Thomas, who is the head of SAC, take it to university leadership. And I just – it's just one of those things with football and basketball and the soccer teams. Like, we want that environment at our games. So we go try to foster that environment in another game, hoping it'll come back to us. And maybe it is because we're in J-term, but it just doesn't ever come back to us.
Why is it always volleyball then?
It's the first thing of the year. It's the first games of the year that are at home. And they're always good. And like I say, winning cures all ills. Let me tell you this right now. The basketball team starts 7-2 again. There's going to not be many seats in Olsen.
That's true.
Men's basketball team starts 7-2. Women's basketball has struggled. Attendance will struggle. It's just like at 49er Stadium right now, it's a bunch of fans dressed up as seats because there's no fans there. You know, it's just one of those things. When you're bad, no one's going to show up. But we were good last year, and we still didn't get big crowds. So, you know, I really thirst for that George Fox Whitman environment that we go play there, and you can't even hear yourself think. Those are the fun games.
And just for a side note, women's soccer is leading the Northwest Conference in attendance. And so, like you said, Drew, the better you are, PLU women's soccer ranked 20th in the nation, the better your crowds are going to be.
You know, especially when you score, too. Women scored 6 goals last weekend. Michaela Grady had a hat trick. It was a great game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that does it. That was kind of negative. That doesn't feel real good. We're going to change the vibes in here. We're going to play a little Name That Loot. I'm excited. We're going to get ready. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hockey depends on ice, and ice depends on water. That's why the NHL has teamed with the Natural Resources Defense Council. We're conserving the water we use and helping to safeguard its future. Because Earth's most valuable resource is pure, clean water, preferably frozen. Join the team at NHL/green and NRDC.org/sports.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to join in, if you want to play a round of Name That Loot with us, you can do it by calling 253-535-7332. Once again, the number to do it is 253-535-7332. We want to thank you for listening today. My name is Christian Bond. I'm known as PLU's half athlete. Kellen Westring in studio. He's a wide receiver for the football team. He wears number 7. Lacey Nicholson, she wears number 44. She plays on the basketball team. And Drew Artisoni wears number 32. He is also a member of the PLU basketball team. So, after the controversial win that Lacey took home last weekend, we need to...
And a real salty Kellen Westring.
We need to lay down some ground rules. I have decided that last names do need to be added to these athletes.
Yeah!
Last names. If you want to play the phone-a-friend card, you can. So if anyone at home wants to call in and help one of these athletes in naming who these other possible athletes could be, go ahead and call us. You can help them out. What else did we run into? What problem? Oh, the buzzers. It was kind of noisy in here last week.
It was a zoo.
So
that was the most fun segment we've ever done.
It was very fun, and I'm excited for this round. But if a person buzzes in, they get to answer, and then as soon as you hear the wrong answer sound effect, you can then buzz in to say that you want to play next. So if Kellen buzzes, he gets to answer, and while he's answering, someone buzzes to like that while he's talking. I will not count that. Okay, we gotta wait. We gotta let people speak. So, Drew Artisoni, can you play your sound effect one more time? Cool. Kellen, what's yours? All right, the dolphin. And Lacey, what is yours? Okay. Aww. All right, here we go. Let's get it going. This person had two goals against Linfield. That's the cat.
Rachel Ross.
Rachel Ross. Rachel Ross is correct. Good answer, Lacey. Lacey's
Christian,
on the board.
Just to kind of get my head a wrap around this again, are you going to say like what sport we're talking about, or are you just going to go?
I'm just going
to
go.
Because I was kind of focusing on football, not to make excuses. Well, but
you know,
I was thinking two goals.
But everyone's got one. They all stink.
Yeah, there's two different soccer, so that kind of makes that tougher.
But you're not going to say the sport.
I'm
you're
not
going to
say
go.
The sport.
No.
Gotcha.
Are you going to jump around from sport to sport?
No, you never know.
Never know.
Okay. All right, this person had three assists last weekend. That's the cat.
Lena Moreno?
You're right.
Yeah, I didn't think I was right.
No, you're right.
Lacey is on the board.
Three corners, three goals.
Quick 2-0 lead. All right,
the
here we go.
The Cubs last night.
This person had a goal against Lewis and Clark. That's the elephant.
Who is Haley Smoot?
That is incorrect. Lacey, I believe I heard your buzzer.
Who is Taylor Lundy?
Incorrect. Oh. Kellen, you got a guess for us?
Who is Michaela Grady?
She had three.
She had three, so try again.
That is incorrect.
I think you said a goal.
A goal. Well, Lundy and Smoot both had goals.
Well, there was one more person who had a goal. It wasn't Rachel Ross. It was Christy?
No, it was Liz Griffith.
That's right.
So, since all three of them had one goal.
But he has a person in his head, so you have to guess that person.
This is producer error. I should have put shot attempts to go with their goal. That is my bad. We will throw that question
producer
out. It's on me.
Appreciate the honesty,
yes.
Christian.
This person.
I'm about to say, when you score six goals, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. There was a lot to choose from women's soccer.
You.
They scored 10 goals as a team last weekend. So, This person had 7 saves last weekend. Dolphin.
Who is Takara Mitsui?
Takara is correct.
If you don't know that stat line, you're done.
Jeez.
All right. This person had 3 goals last weekend. That was the Dolphin.
Who is Michaela Swartow? Excuse me, Grady.
That is incorrect. Lacey.
Who is Eddie Na?
Eddie Na.
Come on.
How many you got right now, Lacey?
Three.
Oh, she's killing it.
It's just about having fun, though, right?
Of course.
Not really.
As long as you say so. I'm having fun.
Enjoying the trip here. Not worried about the scoreboard.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought Scott walked in.
There we go. All right, this person had 6 saves last weekend. That's the Dolphin.
Who is...
You don't know his name?
Who is Lance?
What?
I'm disregarding the elephant in the room. Lacey, go ahead. Give it a shot.
Oh, I want to say John Ross, but that's obviously wrong. Ross.
That's the incorrect answer, please.
Yeah, it is.
What's his name?
Drew, give it a shot.
Who is Jack Rose?
Oh, Rose! Come on!
Oh, these are supposed to be your friends, your classmates, your fellow athletes, and you don't know his last name?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I know his first name.
All right. This person had a goal against Whitworth. That's the cat.
Give me a second.
Three.
Diego Aceves.
That is correct. Diego Aceves with
the goal.
Good job, Lacey. All right, here we go. Lacey, what's your score rate? 4? You got 4. Kellen, you got?
Oops, sorry.
I think one.
One. Drew, have you had an answer yet?
Yeah, I had
Rose. Okay. Yeah. Good. Good. We all got. Here we go. She is the Northwest Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Elephant.
Who is Kelly White?
That is incorrect. Kellen.
Who is Takara Mitsui?
Volleyball.
Three. Three, two, one. Nobody gets it. All right, Drew, you want to try another guess?
I'm going to say who is Kaylee Shiramizu.
That is correct. The full stat line reads, she is the Northwest Conference Defensive Player of the Week, 16 digs against UPS, 19 digs against George Fox, 35 total digs on the week. So an impressive
week.
That would
be really – hey, can we make an adjustment when we do Players of the Week? Can we specify?
If you would have let me finish reading – yes, it would have been specified.
He doesn't get that point, right?
No, he doesn't get the point. Last week, I let you know that if you buzz in early, you're running the risk of having it be the wrong sport or not letting me finish.
Screwed at.
All right, we're all clear. We're clear. Here we go. This person had 27 assists against UPS. Drew.
Who is Kiana Callis?
Most valuable mom. Nice job, Drew. Next person. This person had 43 assists last week. Drew.
Who is Maddie Collier?
I think we need some more soccer questions, Christian.
He's on a run right now.
Let's move on to football.
He's on a run. This person had 14 kills against UPS. Wow, the elephant's there.
Who is Chloe Epker?
Oh.
This is a search, man.
You have five or four?
That made it four.
Four. Lacey's four. Kellen,
got
two?
One.
Oh, man. All right. This person had 19 kills last week.
Lacey beat me.
Lacey?
19 kills. Oh, my gosh. I can see her
three,
name.
Three.
No.
Two.
I don't
one.
Remember. McKenna Van... something. I don't know.
Here you go. All right. Sound effect just for Drew. What do you got?
Who is Isabella Zubrod?
Oh. That is incorrect. Kellen, you want to throw one up?
Who is Mackenzie Harris?
That is incorrect. Okay. The person who is 19 kills last week. Mackenzie Ventura.
Mackenzie.
Gosh. Oh, come on, Ace Ventura. That's on me. That's my bad.
I think I should get half. I got Mackenzie, but then it was Harris.
I got McKenna Van. That was close.
Yeah. Close, but no cigar. Super cliche. Okay, here we go. Three kills against George Fox.
What was that?
Three kills against George Fox. Lacey.
Gabrielle Alley.
Incorrect. Three, two, one. Okay, I'll let you have it.
Who is Sydney Spray?
Let's go! So, during the volleyball section of this game, Drew has climbed his way back into the game. Wow, very impressive.
Thank you, Mark Albanese, for the job.
All right, this person had seven kills and four assists against George Fox. Elephant.
Who is Isabella Zubrod?
Someone is paying attention to their stat sheet they get at the end of their broadcast.
Next sport.
This is okay. All right, let's move it on. This person had four catches for 58 yards. That's the cat.
Ben Welch.
Ben Welch. Incorrect. The elephant.
Oh.
Who is Justin Lin?
That's Christian, very bad officiating.
You've done Justin Lin the last 3 weeks. I'm coming in with Justin Lin next
every
week.
Time that
every
I go
time
to answer
Justin
receiving
Lin.
Stats that aren't Kellen.
I'm just saying.
I love how competitive Kellen gets. He's so
Kellen's
angry.
I thought it was all about
Kellen's
the dirty,
bitter
man.
Over
he's
there.
Steaming
I thought it was
all about the dirty. Right now. He's steaming. Okay, how about this one? This person averaged 10.3 yards per catch. Lacey's going to give it a shot. Three.
DJ Winter.
Oh.
Wow, Lacey. Nice job, nice job.
Air 5, cross studio.
No, this is my points I'm holding up. No Air 5 for you. Five
Ooh,
points for
it's
Lacey.
Competitive right now. All right. This person had 61 all-purpose yards. That's the Dolphin.
Good job, y'all.
Who is Mark Alant?
Nice. Good answer. Good
do you
answer.
Do you have stats on your computer right there?
No.
Ooh.
You can check us both if you want.
Ooh.
Leave Bill Belichick.
Here we go.
Spygate.
This person averaged 2.6 yards per carry. Lacey.
Who is Cole Chandler?
Wow, Lacey. Good job.
Thank you.
Wow, nice. Thought I'd throw everyone off with the yards per carry from a quarterback, but Lacey was on top of it.
I studied.
This person had 6 tackles, all solo. Dolphin.
Isaiah Watkins.
Nope.
She's savage. Oh my god, she's savage.
Who buzzed?
I did.
Okay, Lacey, go for it.
Who is Travis McMillian?
So are we knotted up at...
I have 7.
We're knotted up at 7, yeah.
You have 7?
Yeah.
He ran through that volleyball section.
That's true.
Okay, here we go.
We're knotted
down to the nitty gritty. We got like 3 questions left. This person had 3 tackles, 1 assist. Elephant. 3. 2.
Murph. Cooper Murphy.
Cooper Murphy. Incorrect. Lacey.
Who is Tanner Perry?
Incorrect. Kellen.
Who is Mo Rodriguez?
Incorrect. The correct answer is Parker Truitt. Parker Truitt. Nice game for Parker. This person had a tackle for a loss of 5 yards. That's the Dolphin.
Who is Isaiah Watkins?
Incorrect. Isaiah did have a good game, though. He was all over the place. That's the Elephant.
This is at the very, very end of the sheet, I remember. It was number 45.
Numbers do not count. We got to have a name.
It is Doug James. James, James, James. Doug James.
Doug James.
Doug James was the man. He plugged up a read option and then pulled out the awkward dab. Oh, he gave us the only awkward dab of the game, which I was a little sad about.
Okay,
thanks,
I
Doug.
Have to. Is
so
this the last question?
So 8-7. I lead.
Yep.
This is the last question.
This is for the...
Wait, shoot. My phone locked. One sec.
This will be the last question. Lacey has to get it right.
Or...
to tie, and then a tiebreaker will be installed.
Ooh,
if
installed.
If Lacey does
make
not...
make it a volleyball question.
Okay, let's go.
This person was 0 for 1 in pass attempts. Lacey. 3. 2.
Ah! Who's...
1.
Ben Welch.
That's a really good guess. It's a good guess. Drew.
No, it was the Dolphin.
It was the Dolphin.
Oh, it was Dolphin? Yeah, yeah, go for it.
So you're just, if you could just spoil Lacey's day, I win no matter what.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, Lacey's already lost.
Yeah, I lost.
I just want to get on the board again.
Okay, go ahead.
Who is my housemate? Ethan McKeldry.
Yeah,
shoot, that was my second guess.
I watched that play.
Was this in the first quarter?
This was. I don't know. When did you run that trick play?
Third quarter.
Third quarter.
Must not have been paying attention.
No.
My fault.
So it looks like Drew is going to walk away with the championship this weekend.
Go!
Drew, what would you like to say to your fans out there?
Let's go around the table too, please.
It's what happens. It's what happens when you study hard. I took my cues from Lacey last week. Lacey did some hard studying. I wasn't going to let her beat us again. So came in and took Lacey out this time. I'm sure she'll come back with a vengeance next week, though. And Kellen's lost his championship belt now 2 weeks running.
But, you know, Drew, you should win. You know, you broadcast the volleyball games, you broadcast the soccer games, and so you should win.
You play the football games. You know your football stats?
Right, well, I'm going over plays when the defense is out there, so.
That's a true point.
All right, we're going to take another short break. When we come back, I think we're going to review.
The elephant is so loud. I'm so sorry. I'm still.
It is very
loud.
It's loud and long.
That's
it's
the point.
Very long.
That's the point.
I picked the loudest one.
I think the cat. You probably have the
quietest one,
weakest link.
But
when
she
it comes
might.
To that.
But she still manages to beat you two weeks in a row.
But it's cute. So.
All right. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna run over the George Fox POU football game recap. It was a wild one. It was very strange to watch, and we're hopefully gonna run you through a. Good recap of everything that happened. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.